What we're really trying to find is champions in another city that maybe want to come and see our space and see what we're doing, and then go back home and be the ones that help get this started in their community.
I'm Phil Hatterman, and this is Dog Words, presented by Rosie Fund. Today, the founding CEO of The Grooming Project, Natasha Kirsch, shares an exciting announcement and updates us on the important and inspiring work the organization is doing in our community. If you're new to Dog Words, in each episode we explore the world of dog care and companionship. We Save Each Other is the motto of Rosie Fund, which simply means the more we do for dogs, the more they do for us, and they already do a lot. You can support Rosie Fund by making a donation on our website or Facebook page. You can also contribute by making a purchase from the store on our website, buying a t-shirt at bonfire.com, or buying our note cards featuring Rosie and Peaches, and our shirts on barkyours.com. Links are in the description. Your donations and purchases help fund the Rosie Life Starter Kits that make sure these senior and harder-to-adopt dogs have some of the items they'll need in their forever home. Any donation amount is greatly appreciated, but here are some popular levels. $30 provides a collar and a leash for a Rosie Life Starter Kit dog, and $100 covers their entire kit. Follow us on social media, even if you aren't looking for a dog. Watching and sharing the videos helps our channel gain exposure, bringing awareness to our cause and giving shelter dogs much-needed attention. Our free Rosie Fund YouTube channel offers great videos of Rosie, Peaches, and shelter dogs looking for their forever home. We welcome your comments, questions, and suggestions, especially if you have an idea for a topic or guest. Go to the podcast page at rosiefund.org to share your thoughts. Next time on Dog Words, we welcome back our favorite cognitive behavior researcher, Dr. Ellen Furlong, to discuss dogs and abstract thinking. The mission of Rosie Fund is to provide humans with the resources and education they need to give senior and harder-to-adopt dogs a better life. We thank you for joining our mission. Today we welcome to the Dog Words studio Natasha Kirsch, the founding CEO of The Grooming Project. Welcome to Dog Words, Natasha.
Thank you for having me.
This is the third time we've had a Grooming Project guest, so you're an elite company. I will use Grooming Project as evidence that I am sincere when I tell a guest, anytime you want to come back, any updates you have, come back. We'd love to have you on. We welcome you back to the Dog Words because the Grooming Project has exciting news to announce.
That's right. We are launching a capital campaign for a new building that would allow us to triple the amount of students that we can graduate. We would add a doggy daycare for our youth workforce development and then a market rate grooming salon.
I was in what is the original facility that you're using until then. You were maximizing how you could use that space. You could not squeeze any more instruction or support out of the footprint that you had. In some cases, an organization would and should stop there if they are feeding a workforce. For instance, if it's airplane mechanics, well, there's only so many airplanes, there's only so many airplane mechanic facilities, only so many places we need. And if I'm an airplane mechanic, I don't want the market oversaturating and then undercutting my price. But the training that you do, I don't think there is a limit to the demand for what you're providing. So tell us more about what you're providing. And we've talked about this on previous episodes of Dog Words when we've had the Grooming Project on. So we have some of those details. I'll link to those episodes in the description. But I can't hear this enough times because I love your model. So tell me and our listeners what the Grooming Project is providing.
The Grooming Project, we are training homeless and at-risk moms in grooming. So it's about a six-month program. But when we're working with a population that is that vulnerable, we also have to include the wraparound services. So that means a homeless mom or somebody that's sleeping on another person's couch with her three kids or in her car, she's going to need social services, probably therapy, transportation, usually dental, legal, the whole works, just so that we can get her to a point where she can learn and then get a job and retain a job.
There's a lot of potential landmines for the people you serve in getting through the program.
Yeah.
Because as you were just indicating, they can show up for the classes and get their certificate, get their training. And that seems like, well, that's a no-brainer. Why would they not show up for their classes? But if they don't have any options for when their kid gets sick or their daycare is closed for whatever reason, a power outage or flooded basement or something, a flat tire, any number of things, or an ex-spouse or partner who's just being a fly in the ointment, the list goes on and on. And if someone's in that situation, my understanding is that many of them don't know what options for relief even exist. So if they're looking at a program that's 6 months, it's like, well, I can't commit to 6 months. I've wasted 3 months if I get partway through this. It's like, well, I could have been working at another job and instead I've just wasted 3 months. You're also giving them hope that you do what you can, we'll do what we can, we'll get you through the 6 months.
Yes, I mean, that's exactly right. For example, we have a lot of women living in domestic violence situations that they continue to live in because that's the only home that they can get. It's not because shelters don't exist. They do, but they're full. Mm-hmm. So it's really critical that we do whatever we can to make it so that they can keep coming every day. And it is a daily battle. We do actually have a few people that are sleeping in cars in our parking lot at night. You can imagine trying to do that and then go to school from 7:30 in the morning to 4:30 at night, mm-hmm. and dropping three kids off at daycare by bus, you know? So our moms are just so overwhelmed with trying to survive that we are trying to help them as much as possible to unpack some of that so that they can get through the program and then start to ease some of this because now they're stabilized.
And getting them stabilized also introduces some of them to the concept of success.
Yeah, so it's really one of my favorite parts. Well, one of my favorite part right now is watching Facebook posts from our graduates because mm-hmm. it's just really funny what they post about. Because, I mean, it's not funny. It's they're talking about, I got to take my kids out to dinner for the first time ever. You know,
things many of us take for granted.
Their kids are 10 years old. And yeah, you know, so it's stuff like that. But when you start to see those posts, you start to realize that their lives are now starting to become a lot easier when you can start talking about that kind of stuff. So for our students right now, it's really about inspiring them and motivating them because they don't think that success is for them. They don't think that that's possible for them.
If you don't have a lot of experience with successful investments, and I'm not talking about saving for retirement, I'm talking about job training and then getting that job, investing time and effort and it paying off. Working on your car and then your car runs. That's investment of your time and resources. If you don't have experience with that, then it's hard to make choices based on investing something and anticipating a return. You don't even understand what that means.
That's exactly right. One of the things that we actually have to train our students on when they are about to graduate, do not take the first job that gets offered to you.
And why not?
Right.
People aren't just beating down my door offering me jobs. Isn't that what you're supposed to do?
That's exactly right. I mean, most of the folks that we're working with have gotten rejected from every job that they've ever applied mm-hmm. to. That this is crazy to them. But they'll get 3 or 4 job offers.
You get to be picky. That's
right,
okay.
Right. And so now they've gone from somebody that society didn't want, or that's how they felt, that nobody ever wanted them, to now they're in high demand. And it's really interesting, you know, before you had talked about the demand a little bit, we've got a salon in Lee's Summit, and I just thought, since we ran a grooming school, that I would naturally have enough graduates that wanted to work in my grooming salon in Lee's Summit. And I learned the hard way about a year ago that employers were actually poaching our graduates at 3 months and getting them booked and lined up to work for them yeah. right when they graduated because the demand just continues to grow.
And they know if I hire someone from the grooming project, I don't need to do a lot of deep dive on is this person qualified.
That's right. Where I mean,
they know they're getting someone good.
We are one of the only grooming schools around, and we're 6 months long. Some places will do some training in grooming, but it's usually about a 6-week program, so you can kind of see what kind of difference that mm-hmm. time period might make. But it's really interesting because our students, when they get out there, are so proud of themselves and what they've done and what they've worked through. So, and our employers, I think, are really happy to have them.
I understand that it would be frustrating for people running the Salon and Lee Summit to know that I probably can't keep a groomer more than 3 months, but it has to be so gratifying to have your students understand not only to be picky, but also you can leave for a better opportunity.
Yeah, that's right. So it's funny. I was trying to get, you know, we're building pretty quickly out there, and I was trying to get another groomer out there, and she was a graduate, and so she was working at a vet clinic, and I knew she was really good, and I called her, and I said, hey, how's your job going? Are you making enough money? You know, are you looking for another job? And she's like, no, I'm pretty happy here, but, you know, we were willing to pay a little bit more. Her boss started getting into a bidding war with me. And
good for her.
I know. And, you know, some of my staff were like, oh no, this is a bad thing. I said, no, this is what we do. Mm-hmm. Like this, we want our students to be the ones making as much money as they possibly can.
And it helps the entire market of groomers.
It does.
It demonstrates what they are worth, what pet owners are willing to pay. The capital campaign that you're doing for the new facility, I'll link in the description for anyone who wants to contribute to that in any way they can. And so we want to know more about that. But how much does this expand not only the services, but the number of students going through the program? What can you currently handle? And then what will the new number be?
Currently, we have 10 tables, grooming stations, which means we can really only run with 10, 15 students max at a time. Our new building will have 27 grooming stations, and our bathing and drying rooms will be even larger, about double the size of what we got now. We'll build up to this, but in 3 years, we could be seeing 80 to 100 graduates a year in the grooming industry. And we're also growing our customer service and pet care. And then another industry is doggy daycare, doing a pet safety and handling class for youth that are, you know, aging out of foster care or mm-hmm. really struggling. This could be a really good job for them while they finish school and hopefully move on to a trade that pays a little bit higher amount or college.
Are you familiar with Rover.com?
I am, yes. I haven't looked them up in a while, but yes.
But Rover.com has a wide variety of people offering pet sitting, pet walking, house sitting for someone who has a pet. And it's more like Airbnb than it is like Uber, in that with Airbnb, people are probably more familiar with that than they would be with Rover. You can scan through and see, oh, this house is more expensive, but it has a pool, or it's in a lovely setting, or it's a house that I get instead of just a room in someone's house. And then you can choose what fits for you. With Rover, you can look at this person's young, this person's a retired nurse. This is someone who's doing this to work their way through college. This is someone who is doing it full time. This person is pet CPR trained or whatever other background they have. And then you choose whoever you want. And the pay is different depending on what you choose. I have looked at it and there are, I don't know how young it goes. I'm sure they have a floor on just for liability issues, what they can have on there. But I would imagine older teens, because I've seen high school students that are on there, an opportunity for them to work, learn responsibility, but a pet owner is willing to pay more if they see in that bio, that grooming project sort of stamp of approval, this is someone who has kind of training that you would want from a dog worker, in-home daycare, or someone who's going to take your pet to their home. This, all the variety of permutations of what that interaction can be.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
That really is a great idea. I didn't even think about that.
And here's my free general consulting offer, is maybe reach out to Rover.com.
Yeah.
Because if they know this is going to help us get a lot of good service providers in Kansas City, maybe there's a contribution they would make, or
that's a great
idea. Other endorsement that they would offer, that this is a preferred provider, mm-hmm. someone who's been through the grooming project. And these are kids who just need a chance to prove I can be a contributor.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
So yeah, check out rover.com. The services that you offer to pet owners, you'll be able to serve more of them now because people bring their pets to the grooming project. It's not like the grooming project has rows and rows of kennels of just dogs and cats that are there for training purposes. You need dogs and cats to groom.
That's right. Yeah. So our school right now, we're capped at about 30 dogs a day and we're booked out about 2 months at a time. Mm-hmm. So, and you know, we really don't advertise our services out there because we just,
You don't need to.
Yeah. Well, we can't take new clients, but in the new building, we will be able to expand that, double that. Mm-hmm. And the hope is that we'll get to 50% earned income. So right now we're 26% earned income. Mm-hmm. And then the other portion comes from fundraising. But the higher that we can get on that earned income, the more stable our nonprofit is.
And that also helps the nonprofit because it gets you more exposure. The more people coming through with their pet, the more people are realizing, not only do I want to pay for my grooming, I want to throw in a little extra. I want to do more. I want more of this. I see how hard these people are working. I want to reward that.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly right. Because, you know, there's folks out there that might have a lot of money that can donate to us, but then there's others that are just normal everyday people. And the way that they can give back is by bringing their dog in to get groomed. Mm-hmm.
Rosie Fund, which is technically the sponsor of the Dog Words podcast, the foundation that my wife and I run, I think we get as much, if not more, donations that are of that $10 or $20, whether it's a recurring donation or a one-time donation. And of course, we're appreciated anytime someone offers or donates $500 or $1,000, the big donations. But if it were just those, we would not be able to help half the dogs that we do.
That's really interesting. And that's one area that we want to get a little bit better in because we really would love to have more monthly donors and we would, you know, love to have those smaller donations, but from more people. Mm-hmm. But we're just not there yet.
Yeah, it really adds up. Yeah. The new location, I was excited to see this. You're building out a facility right next to where you're at.
Yes.
So it's not like you got to like drag everything all the way across town or chop down a bunch of trees and pave over a green space. You're taking advantage of property that's right there.
Yeah. And the building that we took over, I think it was an advanced auto parts building. I mean, good foundation and structure, but mm-hmm. really run down. And so the renovation and cost of the building is $6.5 million. And so it's going to be a beautiful building. And on Troost, I think that's kind of important as we're mm-hmm. trying to kind of revitalize that area. And it's something that our students and our graduates that will work there will be proud of.
Yes, it's got to be so exciting for them. Maybe a little annoying for people who are just finishing up their program.
Right, yeah.
But they get to be sort of that foxhole mentality of, you know, we went through it together. We were in the mess together. And so that can be the sort of the old guard looking down at the new students that you don't realize how good you have it.
That's right. Well, you know, and one of the things though for our graduates is, you know, we're growing and we want to expand across the country. But to do that, we have to make sure we have good grooming instructors. And now we're starting to train our graduates to become grooming instructors. We've hired two now and they've just done an amazing job. So some of those graduates might be back in that building mm-hmm. soon.
Another benefit of expanding the program, remodeling this building, that kind of growth, if you're wanting to expand across the country, someone in, and I don't know what cities you're targeting, so I'm just going to randomly say Indianapolis, is probably not likely to donate to the grooming project in Kansas City to help people in Kansas City. And they might be hesitant about funding a new grooming project facility in Indianapolis without the proof of concept that not only have we made it work in Kansas City, we have made it work so well that we're expanding our services, expanding the number of people we can serve, putting millions of dollars into a new facility. That's a ringing endorsement for this is a great idea. This is a model that works and would work, I would think, in certainly any city, Kansas City size and bigger. But I think, because you always talk about, can we scale up? I think you can scale down. I think there are much smaller communities that could benefit from a grooming project.
Yeah, I agree. We're looking at about 5 cities right now, but what we're really trying to find is champions in another city that maybe want to come and see our space and see what we're doing, and then go back home and be the ones that help get this started in their community. And the nice thing about the new building, this will be large. We will have, you know, doggy daycare, the salon, and the school. But that doesn't mean that you have to have all of those things mm-hmm. in another city. You can really kind of make it what you need. You know, another component that we have here that is needed probably wherever we go is housing. We have our own dorms right now, but we only can serve about 6 families at a time. Mm-hmm. So we still largely are looking to our housing partners in the community to help. But that's another thing that we'll have to consider when we move too.
In other cities, if they're starting from scratch, they can look for locations that accommodate that. I mentioned that Bar K has been on a few times. Dave and Labe, if you go to Bar K, and especially if you've been going since the Bark Lab days when they were in the West Bottoms, to see what they learned from there and implemented in the new space, and now how they've been constantly evolving the new space as they've learned, they took all of that to their 2 new locations in Oklahoma and in St. Louis, so that those locations can benefit from the years that they've had here. That applies, of course, to the grooming project. People can learn from your false starts and mistakes and successes. There's stuff you did that, hey, we got this part right from Jump Street.
Right. No, I mean, and that's exactly what we're working on right now. It's so funny. We're in our 7th year right now, but
that's unbelievable. It's been 7 years.
Yeah. But what the unbelievable part for me is still that we're still constantly evolving and changing. Mm-hmm. But a lot of that's we're starting to finalize it, getting it written down now. We have policies and procedures, you know, so all mm-hmm. that stuff that doesn't sound as fun, yeah. but is super needed.
Policies for things that you didn't realize. I wouldn't have thought we needed a policy for that, but
exactly.
apparently we do.
Yeah. So, you know, so it will be really interesting. It's kind of funny because, you know, Jared, who was our COO and now he's on our board, but he would always say or always tell me that it's going to be a lot easier when we go to a new location because he won't just have to try and clean up all of the mistakes that I made starting this one. So, which is very true. So.
I'm guessing Jared put it a little more diplomatically.
I don't know that he did.
Because he was the last guest that we had from the Grooming Project. And again, that'll be linked in the description. He was great. And Betty Jean was our first guest from the Grooming Project. Your alumni that are coming back to teach, that's great. That certainly is more validation that you're making changes in people's lives. Because that's quite a leap to go from, I don't have much clarity on what my future could be, to now I'm working in a job program. Now I have a job. At no point in that did they think, you know, and someday I bet I'll be teaching other people how to do this. That I can't imagine was even a possibility for some of them.
Yeah.
Consideration at all.
Yeah, no, that part's really cool. I think one of my favorite stories, though, is my Lee Summit salon manager. She was in our very first class, so 2016. But anyway, so she became the manager at the salon in January, and it was kind of not going on the right path. She has doubled the sales from last year. So like the salon last month made $43,000. Last year at this time, it was $20,000. She's now got a team of 6 groomers. So these are all graduates of our program. And all of those graduates now, because of what she's done there and getting more clients in the door, they're on track to make $50,000 to $70,000 a year with health insurance and retirement plans, which is just amazing to me. And to know that 6 years ago, she was just another student in our program.
I mentioned that I don't think there's going to be a shortage of need for groomers. You mentioned the vet clinic that a groomer has worked at. So it's not just people who work in a grooming facility, that a dedicated grooming facility. There are doggy daycares that have groomers. There are vet clinics, animal hospitals, research organizations, shelters. There are numerous places, not to mention the self-employed person who maybe wants to do it full-time or not full-time, out of their home, out of a truck, all of these options. But you're teaching them transferable skills. They don't have to be a groomer for the next 30, 40 years. If they enjoy it, great. but it's going to open up other opportunities for them. For instance, this manager could manage anything.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And she's really...
I'm just warning you, someone's going to steal her.
I know.
After several appointments with their pet, is going to say, wait a minute.
Yeah. Well,
let's learn more about you.
It's kind of funny because we were actually at a board meeting and, you know, we were talking about the sustainability of the growth at the Salon and Lee Summit. You know, do we want to continue taking this on type of thing? And it was like, you know, if Christine is running this, of course. But if she's not, I don't know, you know, because I've...
You have to be scouting other students.
Right.
So we have to be ready for our next Christina.
We have to be growing other students. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think that that's one of the things that we really have to start focusing on is how can we continue to help graduates from our program into those leadership positions when they've never really had any leadership training before.
You and I use different words, but we're both right. I said identifying and you said growing, and both are so critical. Because to be honest, not everyone is a manager. Some people are leaders. Some people are followers. This is what they're good at. This is what they enjoy. But everyone who comes to the program, baseline is going to be a good groomer or they're not going to get through the program.
Right, right.
Beyond that, identifying these other skills that so many of them have never had an opportunity to exhibit is so vital.
Yeah.
And then growing it, developing it, letting them know, you are great at problem solving. You are great at people skills. You are great at all of these things that you've never been paid for.
Yeah, it's, you know, one of the interesting things. So a lot of our staff have graduate degrees, you know, and so I get the fancy reports and they're all on Excel spreadsheets. And I work with our leaders that maybe some of them didn't even graduate from high school. And you can tell that they have the right way to think about it and they're asking the right questions. It just might be handwritten notes on a piece of paper or a chart that they wrote and grafted out themselves. But it's just really cool to see that their brain is thinking how it needs to be thinking right now. It just looks a little different.
Yeah, you just have to teach them the tool of a spreadsheet.
Right. Or not. We don't need a spreadsheet. Yeah.
or just how to read
yes,
the room.
Like, right. I mean, the
people I'm sharing this information with, they don't want or need a spreadsheet.
Right. I mean, if she can convey the information that I need to, I mean, so anyway, I'm so impressed with a lot of our graduates.
Do you have a lot of graduates who, if not immediately, but eventually leave the Kansas City area?
You know, we've had a few. So I've got a graduate now in Colorado, and she actually ended up grooming horses. She shaves horses. Mm-hmm. And then,
again, a transferable skill set.
Yeah.
You probably don't have a lot of people bringing their horse to Troost.
Yeah, but exactly. Who knew? But she has the equipment. Mm-hmm. So
and the confidence.
That's right.
When someone says, well, we need a horse groomer, I can do that.
Yeah, we get calls from all over the country of people asking if our students would think about moving. And we've had a few that have taken them up on it, but you know, I don't want our students to go anywhere where they don't have a support system. Mm-hmm. For a lot of our students, we are their only support system. So it's nice that, I mean, all of our graduates, we've got almost 100 now, they can dip back into our services at any point that they need us. So, you know, let's say that they got into a car accident and have a deductible and it was their fault and they can't pay the deductible. Mm-hmm. That might stop somebody from keeping a job. They can call us and we can give them an emergency assistance to make sure that they can go back to work. And students in other cities, I worry that they don't have support.
Well, I would expect having availed themselves of the services that the Grooming Project offers, even beyond completing their 6 months, would be better equipped for seeking that out in another city. Now I know this sort of thing exists. Let me look around what services are provided. What support can I find? Or maybe because of what they've been through the Grooming Project, they have a portable support staff that now their family is better equipped to help each other.
Yeah. I mean, I totally think that's true. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And now have the option of mobility where that wasn't even an option before.
Right.
It's like they didn't have the opportunity to say no to a job offer.
Right.
Like, you don't have to move to Colorado, but it's kind of nice to know you have the option.
Well, we have five or six now that have actually started their own businesses, which is kind of cool. And I was actually on a radio show this morning with one of our graduates who has Classy Canines and Independence. And, you know, she's got five employees now, and she expanded into doggy daycare and boarding. And now she's looking at doing mobile grooming. And I was just telling her this morning, don't grow too fast. But I'm just so impressed with how much our graduates have done with very little.
She's providing support services for other people.
That's right. That's right. And that, you know, to be honest, that's huge. Mm-hmm. And are my graduates at my Lee Summit Salon, the thing that I love about them is that, you know, it takes a while. When you've come from really struggling, it takes a long time to get to the point where you're completely free of those struggles, if ever. But they all lean on each other for support, mm-hmm. and they can talk to each other. And I feel like they finally don't feel like that they're alone, which is really great.
A feeling that was probably very unfamiliar to them before they found the Grooming Project. So I'm a huge fan of the Grooming Project. So excited for this capital campaign. I can't wait to see the new facility. When it's done, whether you invite me or not, I'm going to come and see the facility, and others should as well. Check it out. If you don't need a dog groomer, you can still go check it out. And obviously you can contribute to the capital campaign. Once the new facility is done, that's not an end to the financial needs that this nonprofit has. So continue to follow the Grooming Project, and I will provide updates whenever I can. Anything else that we need to make sure our listeners know about the Grooming Project? Anything you have coming up?
Oh, yes. So we have an event on October 1st, and it's called the Pet Gala. So it's kind of like the Met Gala, except we're dressing up dogs.
See what you're doing there.
Yeah. So it's going to be a lot of fun, and we really want to make this our biggest one yet. So you can find tickets to the event on our website at thegroomingproject.org.
Again, thegroomingproject.org will be linked in the description, as well as other things that we've referenced in this episode. Natasha Kirsch, thank you so much for taking time to update our listeners, and we look forward to visiting with you again.
Thank you. Thank you for having us on the show again.
I'm Phil Hatterman, and you've been listening to Dog Words, presented by Rosie Fund. Thank you to the founding CEO of The Grooming Project, Natasha Kirsch, for joining us today. Links to The Grooming Project's previous episodes are in the description, as well as links to their website, their capital campaign, and the Pet Gala. Next time on Dog Words, Dr. Ellen Furlong returns to discuss how dogs use abstract thinking. A big thank you to alternative string duo The Wires, featuring cellist Sasha Groshong and violinist Laurel Morgan Parks, for playing the wonderful music you've heard on today's and previous episodes of Dog Words. Supporting The Wires supports our mission. Learn more about The Wires, including their concert schedule, at thewires.info, and download their music on iTunes. Check out fiddlelife.com and learn to play fiddle and cello fiddle online from Laurel and Sasha, even if you've never played before. Join Laurel and Sasha as they explore new music and delve into the inspiration behind each work as hosts of Sound Currents on 91.9 Classical KC. Click on the Sound Currents link in the description for more information. Go to rosiefund.org to shop and get links to our social media. As always, please download, follow, rate, and share Dog Words. This helps us with sponsorships, then Rosie Fund can help more dogs. Send us your comments, questions, and suggestions via the contact form at rosiefund.org, and let us know if you would like to be a sponsor or a guest of the Dog Words podcast. Thank you for listening to Dog Words, and remember, we save each other.